When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered them and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once again, dear friends, you're welcome to this Holy Mass. And we're thankful to God for all his graces, especially for the gift of the Holy Eucharist. And today we listen to three readings that will help us understand what gift we have in the Eucharist. We'll be hearing about the Eucharist in the next couple of weeks, on Sundays especially, which Jesus tries to explain to all of us so that we can appreciate and come to receive Jesus after we have understood the meaning and the necessity of this food. Our responsorial psalm today said, "The Lord gave them bread from heaven." If we understand the Old Testament reading we took today from the book of Exodus, we'll be able to understand also what we see in the Gospel reading. And then we could listen to St. Paul once again and understand how St. Paul wants us to behave after we have received the Eucharist. In the first reading, we heard that the Israelites grumbled against Moses, against God. Now I would ask, why would they grumble in the desert after God had freed them from captivity, from slavery, from Egypt? Now remember that these people, the generation that were on the trek to the promised land, were never in that promised land. They all were born in Egypt. Egypt was the only home they knew. But they got to know that they were slaves in Egypt. They actually felt it because they were maltreated, and they cried out to God that he may come to save them from slavery. And God, through Moses, was taking them to the promised land out of captivity. But then in the desert, they lacked food and they lacked water, and they cried out. Would it not have been better that we died in Egypt? Why do we have to come to die here in the desert? Now, even in their grumbling, God heard their prayers. God heard their grumbling, and God gave them manna. He gave them food. Not because they merited it, not because they deserved it because of their grumbling, but because the food was necessary for their journey to the promised land. He gave them food because it was necessary for their journey. And it is this necessity that we can understand when we look at the gospel reading. Because you could imagine what would happen if someone would decide not to eat the manna that God gives them. Such a person would not read the promised land. It was necessary that they ate the manna so that they could get on with their journey and get onto the promised land. And Jesus in the gospel reading today tells us, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. This food is no longer a physical food we eat every day, like the morning food, lunch, like dinner. It is a spiritual food because we are on a spiritual journey to eternity, to God's kingdom. And so we also need a spiritual food to aid us in that journey. And Jesus says, I am this food you need. And because of the necessity of this food, Jesus gives us the Eucharist. And just like the Israelites wouldn't reach the promised land if they didn't eat the manna, it would be difficult for all of us in this spiritual journey without the spiritual food that is Christ. And that is why Christ has left us with this gift, that whoever wants to reach this life in God needs this spiritual food which he gives. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. And that is why today we come to Jesus in the Eucharist, not just because we deserve this food, but because it is necessary for us. And receiving Jesus should affect the way we love, the way we forgive, the way we serve, and the way we stay in communion and in the teachings of the church. Now you would see in the Holy Eucharist, as we celebrate the Holy Mass, there is a point of the epiclesis where the priest prays that God sent the Holy Spirit so that the gift of bread and wine will be transformed into the body and blood of Christ. Now that's the first epiclesis, the invocation of the Holy Spirit. There is a second invocation, that the Holy Spirit comes upon us, the church, to make us also the body of Christ. And so not just the body of Christ there on the altar, but also those of us, all of us Christians, we are the body of Christ. So the reception of the Holy Eucharist is also the reception of all of us. So we receive each other as brothers and sisters because we all are in Christ. We are the body of Christ. We receive each other. We accept one another. And you see, during the time we receive communion, all of us make a journey to Christ. The priest says, happy are those called to the supper of the Lamb. And then we reply, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only come under my roof. Say the word, and I shall be healed. I'm not receiving you because I'm worthy, but I need this food. And then we make a journey, we come and receive. And when we receive, we go back because we need to also accept one another because we also are the body of Christ. And then when we have received, if we listen to the second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he tells us, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created in God's way in righteousness and holiness of truth. And so we no longer should remain the same. The body of Christ should transform us. And does not transform us just by our reception, but also by our right disposition and acceptance, and the need also we discover to change in us. And then I would also like us to look at what the Bishops' Conference of the United States stipulated. It's important that I say this because I see some of us, so many of us receive the Holy Eucharist in a very perfect way. So many of us have learned to do it. But probably there are two or three or four probably who have not learned it and so receive the Holy Eucharist in some manner that does not accord with what the bishops say and teach. And so we listen. I read what they wrote. They said, those who receive communion may receive either on the tongue or in the hand. And the decision should be that of the individual receiving, not the person distributing communion. So if you come to Holy Communion, you could see that the priest or the person sharing communion gives you on the tongue if you bring out your tongue, and on the hand if you bring out your hand. It is your decision, not ours. Your decision. Even though the church says the right way, the way they will prescribe is on the tongue for the right way to receive. But if you decide also to receive on the hand, it is accepted. But then the bishops continue and said, if communion is received in the hand should first of all be clean. This is understandable because we are receiving Christ. If one is right-handed, the left hand should rest on the right. I am right-handed. And so the bishops are saying, since I am right-handed, when I receive communion, my left hand stays on the top and then supported by my right hand. So that when the minister for Holy Communion puts the Holy Communion on my hand, the left hand, I can take with my right. So I form a throne for the body of Christ. Not like this. Because when we come like this, the minister is confused on whether to place on the right or on the left. He doesn't know whether you are right-handed or left-handed. But then when I come like this, he knows I am right-handed and I can pick with my right hand. But if I come like this, he could put on my right and it's difficult for me to pick it with my left. So we come like this if I'm right-handed, not like this, not like this, not like that, like this. And then the bishops continue. If one is left-handed, this is reversed, yes. Then, and they say, it is not appropriate to reach out with the fingers and take the host from the person distributing. You may be surprised, some of us do this. Some come and then they say, like, give it to me. Or they grab it from the priests. The bishops are saying, no, this is not correct. Do not grab it. Receive. I hope this is clear. And then they also say, the person distributing communion says audibly to each person approaching the body of Christ. This formula should not be altered, as it is a proclamation which calls for a response of faith on the part of the one who receives. The communicant should audibly respond, Amen, indicating by that response his or her belief that this small wafer of bread, the wine in this chalice, are in reality the body and blood of Christ the Lord. So the bishops are saying that we must respond Amen if we are given the gift of speech. We must respond Amen to express our faith in the body and blood of Christ that we receive. It is our prayer that through our celebration of the Holy Eucharist and through the grace of God, that we will always be disposed to receive Christ appropriately, and that the transformation expected of us be effected through Christ our Lord. Amen.